Welcome to Stories for Hope, where we're going to talk about mental health, mental illness, and suicide. And we're going to challenge the stigma that prevents people from getting the help that they need. Join us as we take a journey with those that have struggled. What did they learn about themselves and others during that time? And what was helpful and what got in the way as they gained their resiliency? Join us and let's learn together. These are Stories for Hope, and I'm your host, Cecilia Marie Roberts. Wayne Simpson is a professional photographer from Umjanung First Nations, currently living here in Ellora. In his first book, Resilient, The Portraiture of Wayne Simpson, it was actually just released in October 2021, Wayne creates a stunning journey into really the wisdom and the resilience that comes with struggle. Wayne has looked closely, and I'm excited to hear from him. So, a professional photographer, you conduct portrait and landscape workshops throughout Canada, and you've contributed to multiple magazines, including Canadian Geographic. And although you say, I'm just a guy, I'm curious, how did that just a guy get involved in photography?
It actually started out as graphic design. And in the process, I needed images to work with in my designs. So I started taking pictures. That eventually led to just me catching the bug, wanting to learn how to be better at it. So fast forward a bunch of years, and I found myself working at an oil company out in Calgary, and I was a graphic designer and a photographer for them. So I basically learned under fire. I was the photographer for the CEO of Husky Oil at the time, photographing a lot of major events, meetings with dignitaries, things like that, flying to this place and that place, and he needed to see the images every time, so that was a lot of pressure. So I learned quickly. From there, I found that I wasn't able to be quite as creative as I wanted to be, so I started doing work in my off time. So I started shooting weddings, portraits, landscapes, and eventually that kept on going, and I went full-time photographer.
Well, it sounds like something that maybe started as a career has turned into a passion, because there's so much more in this book than photography. You know, when I flip through it, I found the images were kind of haunting, maybe intimate. I'm curious about what came first. Did you hear their stories and then want to take their photographs? Or did you see them as people and then took their photographs and then heard their stories?
It actually started out, well, let me reverse for a second here. So carrying on from doing weddings and portraits and all that stuff, I came to a point where I found that, you know, every job was a paid job, and I found that I still felt artistically kind of confined. And so I started doing more personal work. And what that meant was basically reacting to the people I saw that interest me and just reaching out to them, asking if I could take their portraits. And so I wasn't paid for it or anything like that. It was just something I found really interesting to do. So at that point, that was purely based on aesthetics, I guess you'd say. People that I found had an interesting look about them. But I think even then I had kind of this inkling of, you know, there's more to this person. But let's be honest, that there's more to every person. I guess I just kind of caught the bug, and I kept photographing these people that I found interesting looking, and eventually got more and more curious and started asking more questions. And of course, as I got more comfortable with my equipment and the process of photographing them, I found I was able to chat with them more, and it even became like a tool, you know, as I'm setting up my lighting or something like that, just to fill the time and have them feel more comfortable, I would just make conversation, and I would learn things about them in the process. So that just kind of kept progressing and getting deeper and deeper, and I kept getting better and better at it, I think.
There's one line in the book that I read that I think where you wrote and you said, photography somehow got in the way of what was really important, which was the human connection. And that really struck me. In the foreword of the book, your buddy, I'm sure he's your buddy, Dave Brosha, states, nuances are Wayne's specialty. And I thought, well, you know, that's an interesting specialty, because I quite frankly don't think many people in this world have nuances as their specialty. I would think of a lot of other things, ways to describe people in general. And I love that someone is focused on what's in between the lines. Mm. Where do you think that came from?
I don't know what it came from, really. I know I've always been a person that is a little quieter. I tend to be the person that sits back and listens or watches. I feel like maybe that's a part of, you know, the person I've come to be and how I conduct myself and how I'm able to kind of connect with people is that I observe a little more than most, maybe. Yeah. And I guess in observing these nuances, as Dave puts it, I think that, you know, kind of allows me to reach a little deeper and to really touch on things that maybe some others might not see.
In our work, we talk about the need to hold space for people. And when we say that, what we really mean is to just listen with an open heart, without judgment, and to just sort of acknowledge and bear witness to people's struggle, whatever it is. And it really is an important ingredient for people who are struggling to be able to have that container upon which they can just share. It helps them to be released from some of the difficult feelings. It helps them to say it out loud, right? When you have this strong feeling and it's running around your brain and then you kind of put it to words, sometimes it changes your perspective about it. When you have someone that you feel safe with to do that, it can be really powerful. I'm hearing shades of that in what you're saying. And I think that's likely why you were able to connect so well with these individuals, because you were interested in those nuances. And as you said, you had a listening here.
I got to know of this gentleman, and, you know, I watched him in passing over several months, I guess. And I just thought, you know, I need to photograph this man. There's just something about him. And I didn't know what it was. It's just kind of going back to my roots. I could see something, but I didn't know the story. So I approached him. He agreed to allowing me to photograph him. And I don't think I even talked to him or spent more than 15 minutes with him, which is kind of rare. Usually I spend more time than that. But after sharing the image with his permission on social media, I would say there was probably 100 comments, and it was shared 100 or more times, which was a lot for me at that time. And, you know, reading through the comments, there's all kinds of really interesting stories about this person and, you know, funny things, touching things, a lot of just overall really great comments. Then there were two comments that stopped me in my tracks. One of them said something along the lines of, "This is my dad. I haven't seen him in 37 years. Another one said, "This is my father. I haven't seen him in 35 years. Following up on that, he actually was able to talk to his kids again after all that time. I think it was the next day they had a conversation on the phone, and he saw pictures of his grandkids that he, I'm sure, never knew he even had. So yeah, that really opened my eyes as to potential of something as simple as a portrait, that when it gets out there, it can have a huge ripple effect on things.
One act can make a huge difference.
Actually, expanding on that, I recently did a book signing at our local bookstore in Elora, the Magic Pebble. One gentleman came in who I knew of. I knew him kind of in passing, but I didn't know his past. And he wrote me later, and after he had a chance to sit down with the book, and he expressed how much it touched him and how much he could relate to things in the book. And what I learned was that he was actually homeless for several years, and it was a caring gesture of a stranger that turned him around. This person was genuinely interested in how he was doing, and they showed compassion. And that actually triggered something in his mind and gave him some kind of strength that he previously didn't find, I guess. And he turned his whole life around. So, you know, that's huge that somebody is seeing that in my book. And, you know, that makes me so happy.
And I think that's the power of sharing the kinds of stories that we want to share here. I remember a story of a gentleman that I met in Toronto who had been homeless for quite some time, and he told his story. And one of the things about the story that really always stayed with me is he said that he had probably about a half a dozen encounters with service providers and people who really genuinely tried to help him get off the streets and move on, right, to something safer. And he said, "It was the 12th person who got me there, but I just want those other 11 people to know that they were as much a part of my journey as the 12th person was." And I always remember that, because I thought, we just don't know, because sometimes we don't think it matters, but it's often the collective that matters. I love words. I have them plastered all over my office, and they ground me and challenge me, but I do love words. And so the quotes that you used in this, in parts of the book, really spoke to me. One by Robert Albert Silverstein said, "Peace of mind comes when we find comfort in solitude instead of loneliness." And certainly loneliness has been an acute feeling for us as people these last 2 years, right? And I think we've experienced it. You know, I know I've been at home with my husband and not out in my real world. And although we have, you know, lots of great memories we've made in the last couple of years and certainly lots of giggles, I have felt incredibly lonely at times. And I think about loneliness and I think about the gentleman, Glenn, the homeless man, in the first story of the book. I found myself wondering about Glenn. I wonder what he would say about loneliness. I wonder if he was lonely. I wonder what we might learn about solitude from him.
Yeah, so I met Glenn out in Banff National Park. He was actually, I don't remember if I refer to him as transient or homeless in the book, but he basically would kind of travel all around Canada, however he could get a ride somewhere. But his favorite place was Banff. And I don't know, I think it has something to do with being comfortable with yourself, loving yourself, I think is a big part of having comfort in solitude as opposed to always needing people around you. I think that's a huge thing, to just be gentle with yourself, love yourself. And I feel like he did. He must have spent a lot of time alone. Yeah, he was an interesting man.
When I was thinking about him, and for people who know me, I like to use the word noodle. I was noodling about him. And I thought, you know, I wonder if it isn't really about how much time he may or may not have spent alone, as much as it was about how he was able to connect with people when he had the opportunity. Because it seems like you guys had that instant connection, you know, and that he valued that and reached out to you with letters and, you know, made an effort in that connection. And sometimes I think, you know, when we do that, people in our world, it doesn't take very many people to have us not feel lonely.
Very true. Yeah.
We, again, in our work, talk about being alone a lot. And we really, really want to send a message to everybody out there that whenever you're really struggling and feeling alone, try to remember that you are never really alone, because there is always someone out there who's had a similar story, who is maybe currently struggling as well. And here in Wellington, you know, we are really blessed by having the front door to mental health services here 24/7 available to you 24/7. And so there's always someone to reach out to and have a conversation with. And the people who, you know, who this is what their job is, this is what they go to work to do every day, are really, truly not wanting you to feel alone. And we really want to hear from you if you're feeling that way. A kind gesture, another quote. I really love the quotes. I'm sorry. I mean, I love the pictures, obviously, but I love the quotes too. A kind gesture can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. Compassion, that's a big one, isn't it? And that was by Steve Maraboli. So what did these individuals in your book teach you about compassion?
Oh, that's a good question.
These are big questions, Wayne,
yes,
aren't they?
Wow, you're going,
I know,
deep here.
It is deep. I can't help it. That's what your book did to me. It made me think deeply.
I think the biggest lesson I've learned is to not walk through life with blinders on and appreciate everybody. Like we talked about, kind gestures. That's a huge thing. I've actually, my whole train of thought, I think, has changed since from the beginning of the production of this book to now. Before, I might have walked by somebody on the street and not even taken a second look. Now I'm much more inclined to, you know, offer a coffee or just say hi, or, you know, have a quick conversation just to let them know that I see them and you know, they do exist. Quick backtrack. I mentioned earlier about the gentleman that was homeless for a couple of years, that the one that had read my book. One thing that he said that really stood out to me is he always wondered what other people saw when he was on the street, and he got used to just making himself small and trying to be invisible. I can't imagine living that way. I think the biggest thing I've learned is to let those people know that we do see them can go a long way, and to listen. So my process has been that I will interview a person first, rather than interview, I guess I'd say I have a conversation, and with their permission, I'll record it so that I can get all the facts right when I'm writing the stories. And I can't count the number of times that people got back to me and said just how therapeutic that felt to just open up and tell their story. And all I did was listen. I asked the odd question just to prompt more conversation, but the act of just listening did something for them. So I tend tend to do a lot more listening these days too.
And I think that goes back to what we were saying earlier about the power of holding space. I think many people avoid having conversations or engaging in conversations with someone who's struggling because I think there's this self-imposed expectation that we're supposed to have wisdom or we're supposed to solve it for them or we're supposed to know how to direct them. It so isn't about that. I hope that our listeners really sort of stop and think for a moment. The power of just listening. It isn't about having solutions. It's about literally holding space for a person's story and being interested. So I'm curious, you know, the subjects in the book are very different, right? They come from different places. They have different experiences. What was sort of one of the most surprising things that you came up against in someone's story?
I think the biggest thing for me was people from within my own town shared things with me that I had no idea were going on in their lives. Everywhere from eating disorders to self-harm and you know, all kinds of different topics. But, you know, these were people that I would see almost daily and from the outside had a different perception of them. And then I learned these stories. And I just found that incredible that, well, incredible that they shared with me, but so saddening to know that they felt that they couldn't open up earlier. Yeah, I don't know if that just answered your question.
No, absolutely it does. And I think for many people, we walk through life with them never really hearing their story. And for me, the stories are so important. We really are this tapestry, you know, our struggles and our triumphs are sort of knitted into the fabric of who we are. And when we are able to really see that and see people through their stories and hear what they've experienced, then that's when I really think we come to know each other and we come to be community for each other. I also believe that when we really listen to the stories, we see the strength and not the struggle. One of the things that kind of irks me in my work is that, you know, there's a lot of stigma, a lot of social stigma attached to mental illness and suicide. And I have never met anyone who struggled with mental illness or who has been touched by suicide that are weak. You know, these are strong, you know, resilient, courageous individuals who have so much to share. I think there's so much wisdom that we can learn from people that struggle instead of this ridiculousness that they're somehow weak.
You know, to be honest, I didn't see it coming. When I embarked on this book project, I guess in the beginning I thought of it as a great chance to showcase my images and you know, the portraits I make. And I don't think I quite expected how deep the relationships would get and how much I would learn from each person. And not only that, if I get a little extra deep here, personally, I had a bit of a struggle in recent months, and I found that, like a lot of people I'm imagining, I started drinking a little more than I probably should be. And I found myself actually reaching out to one of the people in my book for support, and he helped me. So it was like a full circle thing, right?
We all have our stories. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that, Wayne. I appreciate that. I just really want to congratulate you for really a beautiful piece of work.
Thank you so much.
You know, it really struck me personally. How you saw the light in each of these individuals, and you've been able to share that in such an authentic and powerful way. Thank you so much. And shameless plug for where we can buy the book.
I would say first choice, I would go to Magic Pebble Books in Elora. I've also got copies myself that I can sign and people can get from me. If you want to email me at info@waynesimpsonphotography.com. And if all that fails, there's always amazon.ca.
Awesome. And folks, our local Wellington libraries have copies. So I encourage you to go have a look. Thanks so much, Wayne.
My pleasure. Thank you.
This has been a great conversation, but for some of you, it may have been a bit difficult. And if you find yourself having some emotions, I think it's important to acknowledge them. Maybe tell a trusted friend or a partner or even a professional and take some time to self-care. But if you really have been distressed or if it's triggered thoughts of suicide, we want you to get in touch with someone now. If you're here in Waterloo, Wellington, please call here 24/7 at 1-844-437-3247. And if you're anywhere else, the Canadian Suicide Prevention Services at 1-833-456-4566. Thanks for listening.